Well, let me introduce myself. I'm Dr. Elizabeth Wago. I'm the chief exec for Providence Swedish Central Puget Sound. I'm more than happy to be here today. I'm honored to moderate this discussion. I do want to thank Senator Murray and Dr. Schreier for your dedication and commitment to our communities here in Washington, and the leadership that both of you have shown in moving the Inflation Reduction Act. We honestly cannot thank you enough, and we're going to hear a lot about that today. Yeah. I also want to thank our community partners. Thank you for coming. I'm excited to hear from you about how this act is going to affect prescription medications, reducing the cost of prescription medications for our seniors. So I do want to tell you a little bit about the act. The Inflation Reduction Act is a historic act. There are three components to it. The first part I've spoken to a little bit, and it's about reducing the cost of prescription medications. The second part is huge also. It increases access to insurance for Americans across the United States. So great component. And then the third one is fantastic in that it is the largest investment in climate action in our country's history. So huge. And I want to say that in notification of the place that we're at today. So this campus, this Swedish Issaquah campus, is a carbon neutral campus. It is one of the most efficient hospitals in the county, so we couldn't have picked a better location to host this event. So we are absolutely healthcare. We are supporters of this act because this act really aligns with our mission, which is to care for the health and well-being of each person that we serve, and in this situation, the communities that we serve. We in healthcare believe that access to affordable prescription medication is essential to receiving good healthcare. So we are absolutely in support of this act, and I'm really excited to hear from our community partners about how you feel that this act is going to help provide better healthcare, equitable healthcare to our community members. So, Senator Murray, I will pass it off to you.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Wako. Thank you for hosting us here, and I'm so excited that our climate change bill and our healthcare bill, you both have as priorities. So thank you. And thank you to our community partners for being here as well. Really look forward to hearing what you have to say. I know Dr. Schreier and I, Congresswoman Schreier, Dr. Schreier, friend Schreier, a lot of titles.
Kim is good.
Kim's good. And I hear from people all the time about the cost of prescription drugs and the fact that prescription drugs are so high that their health care is impacted. I've heard from people who crowdsource, who share their medications, or who simply do not get them. And this is a huge impact to their health care, a cost to them and their families, but really a cost to all of us when people don't take care of themselves adequately. So I am delighted with the Inflation Reduction Act. I'm so excited that in that we have the provisions that you just heard from Dr. Wako, making sure that we are, for the first time ever, really working to reduce the cost of prescription drugs. We are capping for seniors and those on disabilities how much they pay out of pocket every year at $2,000 annually. It builds on the progress that Washington State made, permanently capping their insulin costs at $35 a month, and it stops drug companies from jacking up prices with reckless abandon that just has such a huge impact on people. And really importantly, for the first time ever, Medicare is going to be able to use its enormous purchasing power to negotiate drug prices with pharma to help lower those costs. This is something we've done with the Veterans VA for a long time. There is no reason, except the power of pharma right now, that we've not done this before. And this is a major breakthrough that we are now making steps to reduce the cost of prescription drugs for everyone. So I'm very excited to be here to hear from all of you about your thoughts on this legislation. And I'm especially excited to be here with my friend Kim, who knows these issues personally, professionally, all of the above, and has been the advocate in the House for many of these provisions. So I'm excited to be here to hear from all of you, and I'll turn it over to Kim.
Thank you, Senator Murray. I have a quick question for you. Masks on when we're presenting or off?
Masks on the whole time.
Great. I just wanted to clarify, we're in a hospital. I am so excited to be here. Thank you for that introduction, and I am so excited about it. I just call it the healthcare and climate bill, because yes, I think that sums up so succinctly what is in this bill. And when I think about what this means for my constituents. The questions that I've been hearing since 2017 when I was first running play through my head. Dr. Schreier, my insulin is so expensive. You know, they say you have diabetes too, you know this, and I do know this very well. Can't you do something about the cost of insulin? I hear from seniors about the donut hole and how much they're spending for their prescription medications. It is insane that right now, Medicare cannot negotiate for better prices. I mean, it's the opposite of capitalism, right? That our seniors should be stuck paying full price, and that Medicare has to cover every drug on the market, right? So basically, the drug companies have been setting the prices, and we've been getting gouged. Seniors in particular have been getting gouged. So I've heard, why can't Medicare negotiate the cost of prescription drugs? This bill does it. I've been hearing from young people, climate, why can't Congress get it together and do something about climate? I hear it from our farmers who are dealing with heat waves and reduced yields. I hear it from the foresters who are dealing with these catastrophic wildfires. Finally, Congress did it, and we've got the biggest investment in climate ever. And so, then there's one more thing, which is that with the rescue plan, we brought in these subsidies so that middle-class families could also have subsidies to pay for health care insurance. And what that meant is that because of that change, where it would cap your premiums at no more than 8.5% of your family's income, we ended up with the lowest ever number of uninsured people in the state ever, and frankly, in the country.
Yeah.
These are really big deal changes. And so I'm just so thrilled to be able to come back to my constituents and say, here is the answer to the questions that you have been asking. And very proud that we all came together and got it done. I just want to speak for a moment from a personal level. I have type 1 diabetes. I was diagnosed when I was 16 years old. So we're talking almost 38 years ago, if I'm doing my math right. And I have seen this all change from a time when in 1985, I believe that was, insulin was the cheapest part of managing diabetes. The test strips were expensive. That was the limiting factor. The insulin was $10 a month. It was so cheap. And let me tell you, the insulins have changed slightly. They have. But I'm using the same stuff now that I was using in the year 1998 or so. And the price, the cash price, has gone from $40 a bottle up to now north of $300 a bottle. It costs $10 to manufacture this stuff. It is a crime that that is the list price. And you know who pays the list price? It's people whose insurance companies can't negotiate the cost. It's Medicare recipients, because again, the drug companies set the cost, set the prices, and it's people who don't have insurance. And so we've been working on all of these. You know, the $35 insulin is such a lifesaver for seniors. And we've been working to get that for everybody. When we've been working on things like the pharmacy benefit managers and other ways to bring down costs. So I want you all to know I'm so proud of what we've done. I also want you to know that we have further to go and that we are teaming up to deliver more for the people in the state and in the district. So thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Congresswoman. That was impressive, you sharing your personal history with medicine. I think we both know how costs have gone up, and I love how you were able to map it out for everyone. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. So now I have the honor of handing it off to Michael Brienne, who is the Executive Director of Aging Counseling and Referral Services. So Michael, can you share with us your thoughts?
Thank you, Dr. Waco and Senator Murray and Representative Schreier. I'm so glad to be here representing our communities. It's definitely been a historic moment, especially around environmental justice for disadvantaged communities, and also an opportunity to further advance the provisions of the Affordable Care Act so that more people are healthy and stay healthy, right? It's widely understood that disadvantaged groups such as Black, Indigenous, and people of color bear the burden of climate change, and that climate change has a direct impact their health and well-being. So with the Inflation Reduction Act, what we are going to see is $3 billion investment in environment, climate justice block grants that go directly to community organizations to address health impacts of climate change, such as extreme heat and wildfires. And for climate resilience and adaptation projects, for extreme weather preparedness. We also see $1 billion set aside for low-income disadvantaged communities in neighborhood access and equity grants that will improve walkability, safety, and affordable transit access for communities with highways running through them. The environmental justice gains through the Inflation Reduction Act are equally matched by gains to ensure affordability and healthcare access for all Americans, including for vulnerable and lower and middle income Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. Our seniors, for example, in our Club Bamboo program, which is a socialization and community meal program, who are often lower income seniors, will be able to access life-saving prescription drugs and insulin with the IRA. The Inflation Reduction Act locks in lower monthly premiums, meaning 197,000 Asian Americans and Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders across the nation became newly eligible for premium savings last year, with more than 150,000 uninsured Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islander people having access to a plan which will only cost zero premium in 2021. IRA will continue to keep low or no health insurance available. About 120,000 Asians, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders will have healthcare coverage next year compared to without IRA. These actions come at a time when inflation means higher costs for essential things for living, such as food and housing. It means that people will not need to make the difficult decision between healthcare coverage and buying groceries to have food to eat or to pay their rent to have a roof over their head. We thank this administration and also our members of Congress, including Senator Murray and Congressman Schreier, for prioritizing Washingtonians, and we look forward to working in the coming days as committee work with them to roll out the IRA provisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I love that you brought in climate and how it affects those in diverse and underserved communities. You are absolutely correct, and I love that this bill addresses that also, or this act addresses that also. All right, I'd like to introduce Kathy McCall. Kathy is the Advocacy Director for AARP for Washington State.
Thank you, Dr. Waiko, and Senator Murray and Representative Schreier. My name is Kathy McCall. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP. We have about 900,000 members in the state of Washington. And those members, one of the things I hear from them is our prescription drugs are too expensive. And for 20 plus years, AARP has been working on this issue to let Medicare negotiate for prescription drugs. That is the one key to helping drive this cost down. And as this bill was evolving, we fought to make sure that that negotiation power was given back to Medicare to negotiate for these drugs. And why it's so significant, and this is a historic and monumental piece of legislation that you both supported and is just huge, is that we assume we'll have a population that people 65 and older will exceed people under 18 years old. The population is aging, continuing to get older, and unfortunately, oftentimes, the increased reliance on prescription drugs just to lead a healthy life. One of our members, his name's John, he lives in Kirkland, told me that he spends $500 a month for a medication for his arterial fibrillation. And he said, $500, yes, it's a burden, but it's not as bad for us because we do have some resources. They live in Kirkland. but he said, you know, it's $500 that I could be doing something else with, $6,000 a year that I could be taking a vacation with my wife. So it really does pose a burden. I have also heard of older adults rationing medication and taking one pill a day instead of the two pills that they might need to take, one in the evening and one in the morning. So this has definitely been such a huge, monumental piece of legislation that's been passed. I think the key for us right now is to make sure that the pharmaceutical industry does not come in and try to undermine this. They are very powerful. They have a lot of resources at their disposal. And I know that AARP, we are going to continue to be diligent about educating consumers that this is a real win for not only Medicare recipients, but for the whole entire system when it comes to the cost of prescription drugs. And we are going to fight like heck to make sure that those benefits are not taken away by the pharmaceutical industry for their own bottom line profit. Enough is enough. And again, thank you so much for your commitment to this piece of legislation. It was a long, long, hard-fought win, but thank you.
Thank you, Kathy, for your words and for the support of the AARP. We so appreciate that. So next, I would like to hand it off to Jackie Boschek, who is the president for the Washington State Alliance for Retired Americans. Jackie, what would you like to share with us?
Thank you, Dr. Wake, Senator Murray, and Congresswoman Dr. Kim Schreier. So I'm the president of the Washington State Alliance for Retired Americans. We have over 90,000 members here in the state of Washington, and our goal is to secure a healthy and the best retirement security possible for Washingtonians. It's a real pleasure to be with all of you here today to celebrate such an important signing by President Biden of the Inflation Reduction Act. And as Kathy McCall said, our organization has also been working on this for a long, long time. But this victory is especially sweet because it shows that seniors can defeat the big pharmaceutical industry. And fortunately, the efforts of our over 4.4 million Alliance for Retired Americans, you know, we overcame the efforts of the over 16,000 lobbyists that the pharmaceutical corporations had registered in 2021. So the odds were definitely against us, but it's been a long time coming, and we've been fighting to negotiate lower prescription drugs for over two decades as well. Alliance members started taking buses to Canada in the year 2002. And here in Puget Sound, one of our Alliance members, Louise Perry, organized three special charter buses from Seattle to Vancouver because they could get lower drugs there. And that was one of the first real pushes to make our seniors understand that, you know, it was a fight, it was necessary, prices had gone up astronomically. And I've also heard stories about friends at the supermarket having to leave food on the cash register because they couldn't afford to pay for them, or having to divide pills in half. In the richest country in the world, that's just not right. It's not right that anyone should have to choose between taking medicine and putting food on the table. So this legislation is a real game changer, and it's gonna go a long way to help ensure that retirees are never put in that terrible position again. We're finally gonna start to see results. 5 to 7 million Medicare beneficiaries could see their prescription drugs go down because of this provision. And speaking about the cap on the $2,000 out-of-pocket limit, I'm a relatively healthy senior, but I take very expensive two different kinds of eye drops for my dry eye condition, and that's put me over the $2,000 limits for a number of years. So I'm really looking forward that I'm gonna be part of the 29,000 Medicare Part D enrollees just here in our Washington state that's finally gonna make sure that I don't have to pay any more, we don't have to pay any more than that $2,000 out of pocket. We've already talked about 3.3 million Medicare recipients take insulin and are gonna really benefit so dramatically with that cap at $35 a month. And you know, one in four Americans reported not taking at least one of their drugs that have been prescribed because they couldn't afford it. So now that the Democrats in the House and the Senate, President Biden, Kamala Harris, and all of both Senator Murray and Dr. Kim Schreier helped make this legislation possible, we're finally putting seniors ahead of the pharmaceutical industry. We're trying to make sure that you know, that we really benefit and take care of the vulnerable populations that we are. And so I just want to say that it's been so exciting. It's such an honor, and it's a great day to be celebrating with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jackie, for sharing your story and reminding us of the power of our senior citizens. And as Kathy said, there are going to be more senior citizens over the age of 65 than those under the age of 18. So we might be relying on our senior citizens to help us change our prescription medication access and costs for all of America. All right, Mary Ann, off to you. Last but not least, Mary Ann is the VP for Retired Public Employee Council of Washington. So Mary Ann, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the Inflation Reduction Act.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here. Oh, my goodness, I'm afraid my agency, we're only 11,000 statewide. And then we're set up by nine different districts. I do happen to live in Dr. Kim Schneider's area. I'm from Sammamish. You know, my emphasis too was on the prescription drug things that the act is able to do for us. I think what we need to be saying is, seniors, be thankful. We finally are getting some help that hasn't been available to us in the past. Kathy talked about the drug Eliquis. Well, actually, that was kind of my thought too, was talking about that, mainly because my husband has that AFib, which is basically, it's an irregular heartbeat, and so the drug of choice is Eliquis. In fact, I was looking up some things on Eliquis. It's the 52nd most prescribed medicine in the United States, so it's really used quite a bit. There's 14 million prescriptions of it in the U.S., and yet the cost is over $500 per month, which really is very prohibited for a lot of people. One of the alternatives for Eliquis is a drug called warfarin, which had been prescribed in the past, but now they're saying that Eliquis doesn't have the problems of warfarin, and so generally, most of the time, they would much prefer that Eliquis be used. You know, I hate to say it, but my doctor said, hey, warfarin's used for rat poison. I mean, it's basically a blood thinner is what it amounts to. So if you take too much, you can die. So anyway, my husband's on the Eliquis. We happen to have medical insurance, although they're paying now $1,570 a quarter for the Eliquis. And so of course, as you mentioned, Kathy, this will end up putting us over into the donut hole. I think we'll be under the 2,000, but nevertheless, it is very, very expensive. I really worry about people that really can't afford this. I mean, it's ridiculous that this goes on forever at such a high price. You know, I did take another look at the Eliquis and see, you know, how much is this per pill? And the cost per pill is $8.70. You know, if you go to Canada, you could get the same pill for 52 cents to $2.50. This is the type of thing that really throws before a loop. Why can't we as Americans get the same type of pricing that they do in Canada? So at least now we've got to start, though, with this bill, with the Inflation Reduction Act, to be able to negotiate through Medicare drug prices. So certainly, I know all of the seniors that we're very, very thankful for it, and want to thank all of you, Congressman Dr. Kim Schreier, Senator Patrick Murray, Congress, President, and the whole government, to be able to do this for us. So thank you.
All right, thank you all so much for sharing your stories. I do want to open it up for questions.
You mentioned that this bill deals with both climate issues as well as healthcare. How are those two things related, and how do they interconnect, and why does it make sense to deal with both of those things at the same time?
These were some of the top priorities that we have been trying to put into the reconciliation bill for the last year. And they were ones that we were able to get in and get the votes to get them passed in Congress. Both of them equally important. Climate change is something, as Kim said, I hear from everybody about the impact economically, whether it's forest fires or drought conditions, or whether it's some of our industries that are being lost today, shellfish, for example. We're seeing the prices here in the Pacific Northwest because of climate change. And we have a responsibility as elected officials to not just ignore this, but to take it on. So this is a major emphasis in this bill and real changes for people. And as Michael indicated, oftentimes those climate change issues impact areas of low income the most. And so we are in this bill finally really addressing some of that disparity of issues. And healthcare is a cost issue. We know that people are struggling to pay their bills today, and a lot of people rely on healthcare, whether it's the extension of the ACA so they can afford insurance, whether it is the ability to buy prescription drugs. This will lower costs for people in this critical time in our economy when people are struggling to make ends meet. So these are both changes that affect people's bottom line, families' ability to take care of themselves.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah. How did we get to, we spoke a lot about the inflated cost of healthcare and a lot of the issues and the landscape of it. How did we get to this point, and what else could be done?
You mean in terms of prescription drug costs?
Yes.
Because pharma has been unbridled in their ability to continue to raise prices without any way for anybody to stop them. I think you mentioned the cost of insulin, which is virtually the same product for the last, 25 years. The product hasn't changed, but the price has just outgrown itself. So pharma is making profits, and nobody's getting anything better to be able to take. So this was what we did to rein in the cost of that. And I will just say this, in this bill, we make sure that seniors, on Medicare, don't pay more than $35 a month. We are not done. We have to make sure that the rest of the population, those not on insurance and those who are not seniors or disabled, have the same cap on their product, and we are working on that.
If I could add to that, because I agree with everything that Senator Murray just said, and I will note that you brought up a bill in the Senate to provide $35 insulin for everybody in this country, and it failed. And I think that's a question to ask as to why so many senators voted against the best interest of their own constituents in favor of big pharma. I would also say that there's an element of this that is pharma. There's another element in just raising prices. But there's all kinds of shenanigans going on as well. There's pharmacy benefit managers who are supposed to be negotiating better prices for our insurance companies, for example. But the way that they get paid is at a percentage of the cost of the drug they negotiate. And so the perverse incentive then for a pharmacy benefit manager is actually to negotiate a higher price because they'll get paid more. That's got to change. You know, the other things that go on is at other types of shenanigans behind the scenes where they will play with patents, change one thing in a medication, still essentially the same medication, in order to extend a patent and delay a generic. Or the same company will manufacture the name brand and the generic, so there's no real price competition. And there's even something called pay to play or pay to delay, where a pharmaceutical company will actually pay a generic manufacturer to not let that out on the market yet. Like, there is so much manipulation behind the scenes, which is the fault of big pharma, that we need to call out, because they should not be determining not just the health outcomes, but the economic outcomes for seniors or for any of us. We're paying 3 to 4 times more than other developed countries for the same exact medications. In case you wanted a textbook on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think we're just
right. All right, well, I will just hand it off to Senator Murphy and Congresswoman Dr. Schreier for your thoughts. Thank you.
Well, I'll just say I'm so excited about what we were able to get done, and this is the beginning, not the end. As I mentioned, we're trying to pass insulin for everyone. It was an amendment in the Senate that I worked my tail off, lost by 3 votes because we needed 10 Republicans and only got 7, but the path is there, and we're going to keep working to get that done. In my committee, I chair the Health, Education, Labor, Pensions Committee. I was able to pass legislation out of committee that allows safe reimportation from Canada for our drugs. We are facing a challenge on the Senate floor to get that done, but I am working hard to do that as well, and numerous other steps. So, you know, I think we all learned that we can get things done when we work really hard, have great advocates, and we're going to keep going. So thank you.
I would echo those sentiments, and I just want people to also understand how we work together. Senator Murray is in the Senate, chairwoman of the committee. I'm on the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House. Both have jurisdiction over health care, and we have these common passions of providing health care, taking care of children, taking care of families, and so we are constantly teaming up together to do the right thing for the people who we represent, to bring down costs, to get people insured, to make sure our children all have the best shot at life. So thank you for your partnership. Yeah.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you, everybody, for being here today.
Thank you.